The scripture this morning is from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, Life Among the Believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Here ends the reading.
Would you pray with me, please? Gracious and loving God, we thank you for joining us here today. And again, we thank you for increasing our numbers this day. We ask that you might illuminate something that we need to see or hear this day. I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts and minds would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a wonderful text to be encountering on a Sunday when we ourselves are increasing our numbers, isn't it? And yes, it is one of the officially sanctioned lectionary texts for today. As so often happens under the Holy Spirit's guidance, this passage just happened to fall on the just right day of our church year, or the life of our church. And a beautiful text it is, speaking as it does of having all things in common, of awe, of signs and wonder, selflessness, glad and generous hearts of the people of the very earliest church, not to mention the goodwill of all the people around them. These are inspiring images, yes, but also a little bit intimidating, perhaps. Realistically, can we as a community of faith ever hope to soar to these heights? And in a denominational culture where we tend to value matters of intellect over the more emotionally charged landscape of awe and signs and wonders, is it even something that we aspire to? And besides, these events occurred at a time when Jesus' death and resurrection were the recent memories of first-person witnesses at the first Pentecost. The fire and the wind and the tongues had just descended upon the disciples, attracted a devout diversity of Jews, and enabled them to suddenly and inexplicably understand one another's foreign tongues. Peter had preached a spirit-filled sermon to the crowd, after which 3,000 were baptized. Just like that, the fledgling church grew from 120, just a few more than we have today, to 3,120. Can we even begin to imagine that kind of spiritual power or magnetism in our midst, let alone that kind of exponential church growth? What would we even do if our ranks were to swell like that? We'd have to have, I estimate, about 15 worship services each Sunday to accommodate everyone. Well, therein lies the major, perhaps, difference between us and them. The physical structures and the human infrastructure we now possess. Our feet are pretty firmly rooted to the ground as a result of these two things. They had a degree of freedom and flexibility that we no longer enjoy, as encumbered as we can sometimes be by the physical and financial upkeep of a building and a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We have a sound system and sexton duties to contend with. We have a steeple to be painted, an organ to be maintained, paraments to be changed, bulletins to be printed and distributed, meetings to be attended, and minutes to be taken. All manner of seemingly mundane details, which don't tend to feel very spiritual and certainly don't inspire anything that even begins to approach awe or wonder. Maybe someone disagrees, but probably not. I dare say, in this respect at least, their situation was much simpler. Meeting in homes as they did, predating formal church doctrine, a Roman Empire imposed structure, and our global economy. But lest we mistake the early church's situation for some kind of a long-term primitive Christian utopia, we should skip ahead a little in the book of Acts. For two chapters later, in chapter 4, Peter and John are arrested for preaching of Jesus' resurrection. So much for the goodwill of the people all around them. And in chapter 5, we learn that a couple has defrauded the community by selling a piece of property and secretly keeping some of the proceeds of that sale for themselves. So much for having all things in common. Not surprisingly, there has been a bit of scholarly debate over the question of whether Acts 2's beautiful description of the early church was indeed a realistic, historic description, or whether it was always more of an idealized vision upon which believers could lay their hopes. Given the influence of Hellenistic philosophies at that time, it is quite possible that the author was presenting a template for the perfect church, the Platonic ideal of which we are merely a shadow image. But in the end, I'm not sure that it matters which it is. Factually based or idealized, that author has also provided us with the recipe for this healthy, growing church. Here it is. Step 1, devote selves to the apostles' teaching. Step 2, devote selves to fellowship. Step 3, devote selves to the breaking of bread. Step 4, devote selves to prayer. Repeat day by day. Yield. Praise and awe, wonders and signs, glad and generous hearts, increasing numbers. The upshot is that when we focus on the right things, Christian fellowship and teaching, prayer and table communion, we can more palpably experience the Holy Spirit in our midst, within and between us, as well as the kind of generosity, hospitality, and joy that are described in Acts 2. The Holy Spirit and the gifts, the spiritual gifts she bestows, they are difficult to contain. And frankly, why would we want to? Not only do they overflow with abundant love and energy, but they possess the seeds of creativity and vision. Those things that will lead us forward, helping us to reimagine what the beloved community can look like in and for today's Cadillac and tomorrow's. As much as we might like to, for the time being, we can't abandon stewardship or building maintenance or meetings, but we can let the Holy Spirit we encounter in worship and fellowship and communion spill over into all of these earthbound areas. We can invite her to come out and play, even in the places that feel more like work, to inform, energize, and inspire us in all the facets of our church life. Today, we can rejoice in these new members who join us in the beloved community. Tomorrow, we will see what God has in store for us next. Let's not let Acts 2's images of perfection overwhelm us. But let's not rule out the possibilities at this point either. Amen.